This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Quitting time on your Wednesday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith, Jake Miller, Bear, cruising along with you on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Time for your top five at five. It's brought to you this afternoon by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. Jake?
Number one, the Houston Chronicle is reporting that Texas and Oklahoma have reached out to the SEC about joining the conference. When Greg Sankey was asked about this, he said no comment on that speculation.
No comment, he says.
Shockwaves reverberating around the college football landscape today, Russell.
There's something in the works. There has to be for him to say no comment.
Sankey also said, let me see the rest of his comment. Said, no comment on that speculation, he told CBS Sports' Dennis Dodd. Sankey later added, quote, we are only worried about the 2021 season. Somebody dropped a report from unnamed people. Citing a, quote, high-ranking college official with knowledge of the situation, the Chronicle reports that the SEC could announce the addition of the Longhorns and Sooners within a couple of weeks. All right, so what? One other conspiracy theory thought that occurred to me during the break, and you guys let me know if I'm on to anything. Could this be Texas and Oklahoma's way of putting pressure on the Big 12 to get its act together, expand a little bit, find some more money as they look at the SEC and their new $3 billion TV deal? The Big 10, I believe, is they've got a big one coming as well. The Big 12 is just it's flavorless oatmeal, right? It's there's not much going on there. Like, are they just trying to get some more money out of the Big 12 and kind of give them a kick in the seat of the pants?
They might. It's so hard to tell right now with the way these schools operate, but part of me thinks it may just be just point blank what it is, that Texas and Oklahoma might want to be getting in the SEC.
Part of me thinks this Greg Sankey guy who
just comes flexing.
He comes off so milquetoast. He's kind of a gangster, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Got my $3 billion TV deal. We're going to add Texas and Oklahoma, and the rest of y'all are just going to be stumbling over yourselves, trying to follow my lead. Get on my level.
Yeah.
Number two, Tennessee sophomore running back Jabari Small was named to the 2021 Doak Walker Award preseason watch list.
Hashtag watch list season.
Yeah, everybody makes these lists nowadays.
Yeah, I don't know if Jabari Small is – hey, man, I like it. He's a nice prospect. Sounds like this could be a beneficial offense for him. And hey, man, Ty Chandler leaves, Eric Gray leaves. He's pretty much the only guy there. They bring in the JUCO kid. It's Tyon Evans. He might get some carries. You got Beckwith back there. But Jabari Small was kind of the clear-cut leader of that group in spring practice. Great opportunity for him. But I don't know that. You know, I read all these magazines, Athlon, Lindy, Street Smith, ESPN, all of them. I haven't seen any Jabari Smith,
Small.
Small. I haven't seen any love for him in these hype trains. So, yeah, that must be – I'm guessing the Doak Walker Award watch list is about 125 names long?
Probably.
Okay.
This came out of SMU.
I hope he wins it, man. Big Jabari Small guy. We trucked that guy against Mizzou last year. I knew we had a player on our hands.
Number three, Hall of Fame coach Bobby Bowden has been diagnosed with a terminal medical condition. He and his family announced in a statement to the Tassahallee Democrat on Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sad. 92 years old, and I know that he had a difficult time with COVID infection last year, and apparently he just hasn't recovered from that. And it's sad to see these legends go out. We lost Johnny Majors and Pat Dye last year, and it certainly seems like the end is near for Bobby Bowden. But what a life, what an impact on college football. I mean, Florida State was an all-women's school before he got there, right? I mean, he showed up and
Florida School for Women
made them into a national powerhouse. And he's given it, you know, people was, free shoes university. Like, who cares about that anymore? It's like, yeah, they should be getting free shoes.
They choose to play.
There you go.
Number four, ESPN and Maria Taylor jointly announced today that after much discussion, an agreement on a contract extension could not be reached. As a result, last night in the NBA Finals was her last telecast.
So she's going to NBC, going to be a part of their NFL coverage and whatever else NBC is into these days.
A lot of stuff. NBC's kind of quietly built up a pretty
good portfolio. Pretty
strong, yeah, it's just talent, and they picked up Earnhardt Jr. after he quit racing, and they've got him doing other sports besides racing. Their lineup's pretty solid.
Yeah, he's got a podcast and everything on there now.
It's a shame that her time at ESPN, it ended so acrimoniously with the Rachel Nichols thing and everything, but hopefully that's something everybody can put behind them, and she's going to go have a great career. Rachel Nichols can have her career, and there's enough sports for all these female commentators, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And number five, a Texas man who received a free scratch-off lottery ticket when he got his COVID-19 vaccine in Arkansas, ended up claiming a $1 million jackpot.
Hey! How about that?
That's how you can incentivize. Well, no, Alabama doesn't have a lottery, but if they did, say, hey, we'll give you a $10 scratch-off if you go get your vaccine. Everybody beat
the door. We should do that in Tennessee for sure.
We could.
And we should do it retroactively. For those of us who have long since been vaccinated, get our lottery ticket. $1 million, huh?
$1 million.
Pretty cool, man. What, two lottery stories in a row. What was it yesterday? So somebody gave a lottery ticket as a gift that hit for $2 million.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to find a follow-up on that. I want to know what the – again, I think the protocol is you have to split that 50-50. I mean, I just think that's fair.
On the gift, yes.
But this guy just – yeah, he gets $1 million, man. That's – hey, I'm sure the government will take about half of that, but – that's still a lot of money be coming into.
Think on something like that, they take 24%.
That's all?
On something like that. Now, if it's a big pool like the Mega Mill or the Powerball, it's like you get a certain percentage of whatever the actual jackpot is if you take the cash sum, and then they tax that at 24%.
They're getting their cut, man. Getting their cut. All right, thank you, Jake Miller. That is the Top 5 at 5. It's brought to you by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. $1 million to put a smile on anybody's face. You want to make sure that smile looks good, though. If you've got any teeth issues, anything like that, it's amazing the stuff they do at Knoxville Smiles these days, where they can basically rebuild your teeth in a way that it doesn't even hurt. They can do a trial smile. Dr. Malone talks about it all the time, or they'll just put a little piece on there and let you see how it looked before they actually make it permanent. And just the materials that they're using today, it's truly amazing, the things they're doing at Knoxville Smiles and the jumps in technology that they made in just the past 10 years, really. If you've got any sort of dental issue, call Knoxville Smiles at 865-539-1776. Set up your appointment today. That's 539-1776 at Knoxville Smiles. Go online to knoxvillesmiles.com to make your appointment today. Big news this afternoon, a lot of college football news. It is coming hot and heavy this afternoon right here on Fan Run Radio. We are breaking it down for you in real time. We want to hear your thoughts on it. We will go open lines the rest of the show. Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. What do you think about it? We want to hear from you. Is this a good idea? 865-546-8200 is your number. Jake will greet you as you call in today. 865-546-8200. Let's get Heath in here next. Good afternoon, Heath.
Hey, how are you guys doing this afternoon?
Doing well. What's up, man?
Well, just had a couple things I wanted to comment on. First, honestly, I'm kind of surprised by the Twitter poll of Heupel versus the Pirate there. Just knowing this fan base, I never really thought Leach would have been a good good fit for us. I think he's just kind of too much of a goofball. He's entertaining to watch and in interviews and whatnot, but you know, the first time he blew a lead to Florida or lost a heartbreaking fashion like that and came out in a press conference talking about Sasquatch or just something off the wall, these people would have been ready to run him out of town. So, for one, I was always happy we didn't get him. I just never thought he'd be a good fit. You know, verdict's still out on Heupel. I guess we'll wait and see, but I just never felt like he'd have been a good fit for Knoxville. Myself, what do you guys think on that?
I mean, that was kind of where I was always at with whenever his name came up. Russ and, you know, thought he would be entertaining to cover, but I always looked at, you know, what was going to – the bad that was going to come.
But here, the bad that was going to come. Here's the thing. Hindsight is always 20/20, right? And you guys are talking about this as if, oh, yeah, we should have hired somebody better. Well, we didn't. We hired Jeremy Pruitt. It's the reason we're having the conversation. And nobody could argue that we wouldn't be better off today than we were than we would be with Pruitt. You know,
Brian,
we would obviously be further along. Now, what's the ceiling? I don't know. But we can look back on it 4 years or 3 years ago from now and say, yeah, obviously we would have been better off with Leach. What's going to happen in another 3 years? If this Heupel guy doesn't work out, then it only solidifies. Yeah, we should have hired Leach, man. We might have peaked at 9-3, but we've been through however many years, 5-6 years of just total misery, and 5 or 6 years of total misery before that.
Absolutely. When you put it like that, yeah, you know, we probably would have been better off with him. Like you said, you don't know how high that ceiling is, but kind of moving on to Texas and Oklahoma, I think they would be a good fit for the SEC. You know, they've got passionate fan bases. They bring in a lot of revenue. I think it could bring some excitement in. What I would be more interested to see is how much success Oklahoma has every year having to play an SEC schedule. You know, do they go from being a perennial playoff contender to just kind of maybe that second-tier team? Or that's what it probably intrigues me more than anything about that move.
Heath, it's interesting stuff. I'm going to let you go because it sounds like you're in a wind tunnel right now. It's very loud, but we appreciate it. Yeah, I've been thinking that Oklahoma – is going to drop off anyway under Lincoln Riley. I think they've been just sort of riding that Bob Stoops wave, and there's nobody good enough in the Big 12 to really step up and challenge them. So that's a good point. I don't think that they would just be this perennial playoff team. I still think they'd be very good, but it wouldn't surprise me to see them tail off a little bit. And then does Lincoln Riley at that point jump to the NFL? If that happens, what do they do? And then where do they go from there? Who knows? But it is an interesting question. And for Texas, I mean, they've been, what does Phil like to call it, bare upper-level mediocrity. They've been that way forever anyway, so I don't know that it would change that much for them. It'd be harder. It'd be harder for them in the SEC than it is in the Big 12.
Yeah. And then they wouldn't, you know, there would be a drop-off. Like, they wouldn't be you know, they kind of run the Big 12. Whatever they say goes. I mean, the other thing to think about is how is this going to affect basketball? You know, we spent all this time talking about football.
Yeah, I don't know that it has a huge impact. Because you could play everybody in basketball, right? I mean, it would just be two new teams on your schedule every year.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would be probably more fun for, you know, if that's the right phrase, for Tennessee from a basketball perspective.
Kirk Bowles of the Austin American Statesman, paper of record in Austin, Texas, says an SEC source tells him it would, quote, take a majority vote to accept Texas and OU into the SEC. So if that's true, A&M wouldn't be able to block it alone. But you're going to have some Game of Thrones-esque politicking if it comes to a vote bear where A&M is going to be, you know, what can they offer LSU to vote with it? You know, what does LSU think? What does Auburn think about this? What do they want to be playing Texas? And they're already chasing Alabama. Now they want to throw Texas and Oklahoma in there competitively. Does that make sense? How much more money are they going to be getting a year in this scenario? And does that make it worth it to make the road to a championship that much tougher?
There's just so many moving parts to this. My head's kind of swimming from it. I'm sure there's angles that we haven't even thought about yet.
Jay is next. Good afternoon, Jay.
Russ, what's going on, buddy?
What's up?
So, with this alignment stuff, you know, I got a couple thoughts on it, but, you know, number one, I remember – I thought I heard the governor of Oklahoma basically sign something into action that basically said Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are a package deal, and that one, you can't get one without the other. Do you remember hearing about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's been speculated. We've heard that that's the case, and that there's some sort of legislation that would make that the case. Now, can they get out of it? I don't know. Is it worth taking Oklahoma State to get Oklahoma and Texas if you're the SEC? I don't know. But I'm sure these are questions that if these reports are true, that they're working through.
Well, I mean, some of the reports were interesting. They said this has been talked about since last SEC meetings. So it sounds like they've been discussing this for a while. It's hard to believe that it would have been kept under wraps this long, but – what I found interesting was nobody is – if there is no truth to this at all, Greg Sankey is acting like a coach that's about to leave his one school for another school. He's not, you know, oh, I'm not going to address those rumors. Like, if there was no truth to this whatsoever, all Greg Sankey would have to say is, yeah, that's not happening, at least not at this time, not in the foreseeable future. That's just a rumor. You know, that's not – the case here. But he's just like, I'm not going to address rumors, or I'm not going to, you know, he's just sidestepping it. He won't come out and deny it.
Yeah, the no comment just pours a big old bucket of gasoline on the fire, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what does he have to gain by, that's what I'm saying. Like, why would he do that? If it's all just rumors, why wouldn't he just come out and just say, hey, this is not true, guys?
I mean,
some truth to it.
What does he have to gain by doing that, even if there is no truth to it?
Yeah. I don't know.
Let people think about it. But put it into the conversation. See how the public reacts. See how the state legislatures react. See how the TV networks react. Is there an appetite for it? This is what those folks in Europe, where they made their mistake this summer, Bear, is they just did it. Those soccer clubs just did it. They just banded together and did their thing without thinking about it. And then when the fans revolted, like, it was a terrible look for all those clubs. And they lost a lot of money. They had to pay fines over just dealing with all that stuff. I mean, this could be a pretty smart way to go about this, which is a similar thing that they're talking about in conference expansion here in America, is to put a trial balloon out there. See, run it up the flagpole. See what the public response is. And Because there'd be people against it. There'd be traditionalists against it. But I don't think that anybody's going to be marching in the streets like they were over there.
Well, no. Because Sankey's smarter than he'll get his ducks in a row and he'll float this out there.
I think it's going to further highlight, if that does, let's just say it does happen, I think it's going to further highlight the discrepancy of what you have to do to get to the playoff through the SEC and what somebody like Clemson has to go through. I mean, it's just,
yeah,
it's just going to be, it's just going to be, the SEC is going to be beating the living hell out of each other every week, and Clemson's going to be beating Wake Forest and Boston College by 50 and just skate on in, and there's going to be three or four lost teams in the SEC that are going to be more deserving because they played exponentially tougher schedule.
Well, you've got 65 power conference, power five conference teams. If one of these conferences goes away, I mean, that's about, I'm sorry, I'm a terrible mathematician. That's roughly 16 teams per league, right?
Yeah.
So you go to that, and then you build your playoff off of that. 14, you get three teams from each league in a playoff, and then you do it like that. But you're right. I mean, competitively, what does Nick Saban think about this? The schools that actually do go to the playoff, what does Nick Saban and Kirby Smart think? They're like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Now I got to run through. I add Texas and Oklahoma to my gauntlet, and Clemson's not adding anybody. And even mm-hmm. if they did add two more teams, well, first of all, Notre Dame would almost have to be one, and because there's not going to be room for independents in this, or maybe they are. Maybe it's 64 teams. It's 16 four-team league or four 16-team leagues and Notre Dame. Maybe that's maybe that's the way you do it. I don't know. It's but you're going to have to do something. It doesn't seem like it's good business for the SEC to be at a competitive disadvantage just because they're cannibalizing themselves every year compared to the other three leagues, whatever they end up being.
That's where I am. I think it looks cool on paper and whatever, but I think at the end of the day, if you're a Tennessee fan, just speaking from a Tennessee perspective, I don't know if this is the smartest thing, or any school really. I mean, because all it does is make your life harder. Even if you're Georgia or Alabama, it's just making your life a lot harder now.
I just haven't thought about it much from a Tennessee perspective, and that's kind of sad. I mean, if we were better, I probably would be thinking along those lines. But to me, it's mm-hmm. just like we suck. We sucked last year. We're probably going to suck this year. We might suck next year. Like, I don't know. It's been so long since we've been worth a damn, Jay. I can't even think about it in terms of what does it mean for us and our chances for a championship, because that's a pipe dream right now.
Well, you know, Texas and Tennessee can play in the underachieving bowl, Russ. I mean,
well,
the
only real angle is you don't want to get left behind. And mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what Texas and Oklahoma are thinking in all this is – We want to be a part of something special. The Big 12 obviously isn't it. And if you're Tennessee, yeah, it's a harder hill to climb, but at least you're on the hill, right? You're not in one of these other leagues. I mean, think about what is Kansas State thinking today? What is Iowa State, Matt Campbell, thinking today? I mean, they could be on the verge of becoming a Group of Five school, essentially.
Well, that's kind of what one reporter was saying. He quoted a Texas source that said basically Texas and Oklahoma are well aware that the Big 12 is just not sustainable, that it's not going to last. They're trying to get out for the ship sinks. And it could just be a situation where it ends up being kind of like the NFL in the sense of there's no bad NFL jobs because there's only 30, 31 of those jobs, and everybody, you know, it's rare to get one, even if you're going to the Cleveland Browns or somewhere. It could just be where the SEC is just like, man, there's only 16 of those, and it just makes that a more select group to be in, you know, and maybe raise your profile that way. I don't know. So. See you, Russ. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Jay. Appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Texas and Oklahoma and you really think that, you know, the Big 12's going to – eventually dissolve, if you're them, you're going to want to get into the best conference possible, which is obviously the SEC. And we're the premier league.
Didn't they almost fold? Like when A&M and Mizzou made the jump?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just those two schools. It was a couple other schools that made the jump to the Big Ten, correct?
Well, at Texas and Oklahoma were looking around. They were talking about joining the SEC and the Pac-12. They flirted with both of those. Yeah, Nebraska went to the Big Ten. Colorado left. I mean, Big 12 used to be a cool league. And that's what sucks about this, Bear, is if you put Nebraska and Colorado back in that league, all of a sudden
it's on par with the ACC and the SEC. Or,
it's decent.
Yeah.
It's much better than what it
especially,
has
especially
become.
Nebraska.
Well, and the league's too Texas heavy. I mean, what do they have? They've got Texas, TCU, Baylor, Texas Tech.
You've almost got the entire old Southwest Conference.
Yeah, I know it's a huge state, but you don't want more than two schools in a Power Five conference from one state, right?
Yeah. But then again, like you said, what are you going to do with Baylor and Tech and TCU and the other Texas schools? Which I think eventually, I think what this is building towards is whenever major college football, the Power Five breaks from the NCAA, there's going to be a massive realignment. I think we might have conferences that I don't think conferences are going to be. It's probably going to more closely resemble the NFL than what used to be in college football.
865-546-8200. If you want to chime in on the conversation today, 546-8200. Quick timeout. More of your phone calls coming up on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Hey, folks, Russell. All right, a couple more things coming out. This developing story this afternoon. A Texas spokesman has released a statement in response to the Houston Chronicle report today. Quote, speculation always swirls around collegiate athletics. We will not address rumors or speculation.
That's kind of par for the course.
That's a big nothing burger.
Yeah.
Just say no comment, man. Yeah. And don't deny it.
Nobody is.
I like this. Somebody sent me this. I'd forgotten about this. I remember seeing it back in May. But, you know, Oklahoma and Nebraska are playing each other for the first time in several years this year as a non-conference matchup.
Yeah.
And it's a big deal, right, to the Oklahoma fans.
Absolutely.
The game is at Oklahoma, and so those fan bases are all fired up about it. And they decide to put the game on at noon on Fox.
Why would you do that?
Because it's TV, and that's what they put their big game on at noon. You're not going to put it on at 3:30. They don't play games in primetime, or maybe they do. I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah, they do.
Oklahoma released this statement on its official Twitter account. Quote, we are bitterly disappointed that the great Oklahoma-Nebraska rivalry on the 50th anniversary of the game of the century will kick off at 11 a.m. We tried, because it's 11 a.m. local, right, 12 Eastern. We tried every possible avenue to proactively make our case. The Big 12 Conference also supported our strenuous efforts to secure a more traditional time that would honor this game and our fans. However, in the end, our TV partner chose to exercise its full contractual rights and denied our requests.
Well, I mean, that's the other part of this is their dissatisfaction with Fox. What a coup that would be. I mean, the SEC could just and ESPN could just swoop in and raid their two biggest draws. But that makes absolutely zero sense. And they do play primetime games. They play that 8 o'clock game every Saturday night. I don't know why that wouldn't be, especially the 50th anniversary, why that wouldn't be the primetime game.
Maybe there's a – I mean, competitively it's not a big game, right? But traditionally it is.
Yeah, I mean, traditionally, I mean, you know, I'm an old dude, but I'd definitely be tuned into it.
Nah, you'd be watching Tennessee play Missouri if that's the game on at that time.
Yeah, probably, but I'd definitely keep an eye on it. I mean, I understand why Oklahoma's upset about it.
It's like, damn, Nebraska, can't you get your stuff together? You need to be 5-7 every year. If you're just a little bit better, if you'd put up an 8-4 every now and then, we could have this game in primetime and we could tailgate and give it the respect it deserves. But no, you got to be like the Tennessee of the Big Ten up there. Can't get out of your own way. Keep hiring boobs.
I mean, they hired their. They hired Scott Frost.
Yeah, he's not a boob. We all thought he was going to be fantastic.
Yeah, it shows you how hard that job is right now.
Westchester is up next. Good afternoon, Westchester. You're on the Drive Fan Run Radio.
Speaking of boobs, let's go to Westchester. How you doing?
Nice segue there, huh?
Yeah, I appreciate that. This is not my main point, but I think it's kind of interesting the Seggy thing, because I mean, if this is just strictly a move by Texas and Oklahoma to put pressure on, you know, on their conference commissioner and to have better TV deals and all that crap, then you think that wouldn't you think that Seggy would be the first one up there to say, laugh, laugh, ha-ha, we're really not doing it, because he wouldn't want people doing that to him.
But nobody's going to leave the SEC, right?
I wouldn't think so, no.
I mean, that's just
Unless you want to go dominate the Big 12.
It's not something he has to worry about. These guys are sharks, Westchester. There's no honor in that world. He doesn't care about anybody doing something to him. He's just about, what can I get for me and my constituents, and how much of it can I get? When can I get it? I want it now. Give me more. It's never enough for these people.
And just my subtle opinion, I think there's no way in heck the SEC, the presidents, whoever has to vote, wants those two powerhouses in this league. I think that's just a recipe for disaster. But
unless you're telling me, so under the new terms of the new TV deal, they would be getting $30 million a year or whatever it is from the new TV deal. If that number goes up to 35, they'd all do it for an extra $5 bucks a year.
I think it would have to go from like 30 to 60. I think they'd probably have to double it to take those losses.
Nah. You're vastly underestimating the just outright greed of the SEC.
That's true. The main reason I called, though, is, and this is, as far as Westchester stuff goes, this is pretty far out there. So, is there any reason that we have to tie football to basketball? I mean, if we're just going to go ahead and tell the NCAA to go to heck and, you know, get the heck out of the way, we're going to do what we want to do, can you name me 8 schools in the country that are good at men's basketball and football?
8 schools in the country that are good at both football and men's basketball. Florida's
nationally competitive.
Yeah, Florida's been certainly nationally competitive. Texas has been off and on. Alabama certainly last year. Yeah, they are.
But after 3, you start to go, well, wait a minute, right?
I see what you're getting at, but they're not going to do that.
Why not? Exactly. So why not? Why not create, like I said, tell the NCAA to go to heck and create set for conferences for football and basketball? Everyone actually benefits because
Westchester, the NCAA, as much as they have no control over football, absolutely lock, stock, and barrel control basketball.
Right, but if we're just rearranging some conferences, they're not gonna petition that because they still win. It's still a better product. There's not a conference in none of the Power Five benefit by having basketball and football tied together. Is that a fair statement?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't understand how
I guess I don't really understand what you're getting at.
Can't we all be Notre Dame and play in a separate conference in basketball that we do in football?
No, they're not going to do that.
Why not? Everyone makes more money. There's not a single Power Five that's competitive in both.
No, that's not true.
That's patently false, actually.
Well, you just struggled after three teams to name more than that.
Well, where are you gonna go? I mean, you're Tennessee. Like, why would you not want to be in the SEC?
But if you didn't have to for basketball, I mean, yeah, Tennessee could probably be all right until, I don't know.
This is what we're talking about when we talk about moving football out of the NCAA's purview altogether and creating a fourth division, or making football something that's a club sport loosely affiliated with these universities. And we're not even talking about school anymore. It's not scholarships. We're just paying the players and their employees, like the school janitor staff or anything like that. And nobody has shown any appetite for that so far. And maybe that's what it ends up being 20 years down the road, but that's not what anybody's talking about right now.
No, I know they're not. That's why I wanted to throw it out there. I just think I don't think it's as insane as y'all think it is. I think that it benefits, I think conferences benefit overall. I mean, maybe we create some new, this is what's so crazy about it is maybe we create conferences we haven't even heard of before. I mean, TV money is there.
Well, that's what this is. That's what this is. I mean, you add Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. It's not really the SEC anymore. Like, if you go back in Doc Brown's time machine to 1985 and a 10-team league, and you walk into media days back then and say, hey, here in another 30 years, you're going to have 16 teams in the league. Missouri's going to be in the SEC. Everybody, like, so it's already kind of like that anyway. You can call it the SEC, but it's not what it used to be. So, yeah, I mean, that's where this is all headed. And, you know, these schools are desperate. WLN had a great point at the end of last hour. COVID scared the crap out of all these ADs. And you got a guy like Danny White who's scrambling, just trying to make ends meet with his budget. And yeah, he wants to be competitive. He doesn't want to see his coach get his teeth kicked in by Nick Saban or Dan Mullen or anything else, but he'd rather, if you're telling him he can get an extra $10 million a year out of a TV deal by adding Texas and Oklahoma, he'd do it without thinking twice about it. And I don't blame him, because he's making $1.8 million a year. He's not going to do that if he can't make his budget at the end of the year. Thank you, Westchester. Let's get D.R. Vall in here next. D.R. Vall, you're on the Drive Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, guys. I'm hoping we can go ahead and add Ohio State, Clemson, the Lakers, and the Redskins, or the football team.
There you go. Reddit. Yeah, why not?
As if our uphill climb isn't big enough. I'm not big on change anyway, but hearing this to me it instantly sucks, but it's all about perspective, because as Westchester was talking about, because when he started going to basketball, I'm like, oh, my God, I'd be all for it. But we're good in basketball, and baseball would be fun as well. But when it comes to football, I just think, oh, God, that's two more teams to kick our teeth in.
Yeah, that was pretty much my initial thought as well, DR. But, then I think you said it, Russell. I mean, it's, we're going to suck anyhow, so.
Guys, Butch Jones, if he weren't Butch Jones, would have beaten – he had Oklahoma beat. He just couldn't get out of his own way. Texas right. is not that much better off than us. They are better off, but not that much better off. We got to get out of this Pruitt mentality of, we're playing 1980s football in 2020, and hopefully – give this guy, old Bobby Hill, a chance to implement his system and get a quarterback in here. And Oklahoma, Texas.
Whoa. That's part of the problem right there. Maybe we should stop denigrating our coach, Russ.
Okay, fair enough. But Oklahoma, Texas, not kicking our teeth in any more than Alabama and Florida are. That's all I'm saying.
True.
Well, and that's what I was getting at. We're already playing, what, Alabama, Florida, and Georgia, and we're going to add those two to the mix, which I agree with you about Texas.
As long as you get, let me keep the all-important Kentucky and Vanderbilt series, those rivalries, I cannot live without them, D.R. Vall. They are part of the fabric of our lifestyle here in the Southeast. Don't mess with those series unless they get really good, and then we don't have to play them anymore.
Well, see, and as long as we keep Vanderbilt, that's our one chance of being champions, state champs right there. Isn't that what Butch called it, state champs?
Tennessee state champions.
The gift keeps on giving. And guys, you know, I'm on vacation right now. I've been listening to podcasts, but Butch Jones will definitely be up there in the space for Arkansas State to get a two-star recruit over us, I'm sure.
It's critical.
We just let Butch Jones – is already scheming a way to get Arkansas State into the revamped Big 12. Under my leadership, we entered a Power 5 conference.
Oh, yeah. Well, Russ, he would go up there because when you go in space, it stretches your vertebrae, so he may be able to grow a little. You'll have a good day.
Butch in space. Space. Space,
he is,
space.
He is a little short. He's got incredibly small, childlike feet.
And he's got that astronaut haircut, too. He kind of looks like an astronaut. If you didn't know who he was.
He looks like a cop. That's what he looks like.
Why do you say that so derogatorily?
I mean, maybe not a cop. You know what he looks like? He looks like mall security.
What, like a rent-a-cop?
No, like that idiot, one of those idiots that rides around on a Segway at the mall yelling at the kids. Yeah.
Butch Jones was like one of the alternate astronauts for one of the Apollo missions that never got to go up in space.
Could have been me.
Or he would be there. He would be like on Apollo 15 or whatever, you know, by the time we had all stopped caring and nobody knew who's any of those guys were.
No, I was up in space, really. I rode the dune buggy.
Sure you did, Butch.
Butch. What a clown.
Quick timeout. Jamie, hang right there. You'll have the last word when we continue wrapping things up on a Wednesday afternoon edition of The Drive. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
The Axe House in Sevierville and Pigeon Forge.
Wrapping up, final segment of The Drive. Overtime coming up next from 6 until 8 on many of these fine Fan Run affiliates. Let's get Jamie in here. Love to hear his take on all this. Good afternoon, Jamie. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
How's it going?
Guys, this whole name and image and likeness deal's got me kind of perplexed. I mean, these guys nobody would ever know who these guys were if they didn't play for these universities. That just baffles my mind. You know, where do they get their when do they get their cut? I mean, are they still playing for scholarships?
When does who get what their cut? Getting,
what's the school get out of this?
Who are you talking about? When do they get their cut?
Well, I mean, like, you know, any university that offers a kid a scholarship, I mean, what are we doing that for? Well, I mean, you're getting paid to come play. You know, then pay your way.
Well, hell, they've been getting it for free forever, Jamie.
Well, are we looking for revenge or are we looking for equality?
I don't think
it's no money out of the university's pocket.
I don't think it's equality because a player's value to the school is different for every single player as an individual across the landscape. I think opportunity is the better word to describe it. Is, hey, if you've got an opportunity to go out there and make a buck off your name, why not? Why shouldn't you be allowed to?
I think if you make a certain, they should make a cutoff. If you make a certain amount of money, your scholarship, you can, I mean, your scholarship stays, you know, you can still use it. It's just you're not getting paid for. I think the university could find better uses for that money than to give somebody who's a millionaire. But anyway, I wonder if Butch has worn them out yet with, you know, whatever number team this is and how many seats are in the stadium.
We need to get 46-5-3.
Stuff. I follow him on Twitter.
Well, his daddy Nick taught him.
He's still doing a lot of the same stuff.
You've been following that situation closely, Bear?
Not closely, but I definitely followed him.
Who do they got this year? They've got an interesting first game, I think.
Wolves up. That's their
A
different breed. That's their catchphrase.
A different breed.
Wolves up.
Ugh.
Yeah, Arkansas State football, a different breed.
A different breed. They play these Memphis frauds, the second week of the season.
Memphis will spank them. These frauds always have, you know, you can usually tell by the way they talk, you know, like a tougher breed. So, and
fourth and whatever it is. New personal growth and development program. Mm.
Guys, if Oklahoma and Texas, I've got the back end of some of the other, you know, stalwarts that call the show. If they join the conference, we'll never win another thing. We can barely compete with three upper tier programs. We're gonna fall by the wayside. You know, we'll be Swanee or Georgia Tech, and interest, you know, will wane. And it'll be something that our grandkids look back on, and just kind of like we look back on, you know, good teams that are no longer good now that we're, you know, coming up. You know, I just, there's no way we're going to do it. You know, there's a lot of kids that come to Tennessee, you know, from Texas and Oklahoma right now. When we do is because of the lower playing in the SEC. Well, we ain't going to get any of them because they're going to be playing in the SEC. You know, you can forget about getting a kid out of Texas anymore or Oklahoma whenever, you know, Texas and Oklahoma can recruit him and be like, yeah, we're playing the best conference in the league now or in the country now too.
I just don't look at it that way. I mean, I hear what you're saying. Yes, it makes competition is harder, but I look in the mirror first, Jamie, and if we just stop making bad hires, it's about us. It's about our university. It's about our leaders, not about anybody else. I mean, we've still got tremendous resources over here.
I agree.
And we just have to make better decisions. That's all it comes down to.
I couldn't agree more, except for one thing I'm noticing lately is, you know, the names change, but the leadership stays the same over there. And you know, we all know what controls everything is money. And I'm just wondering if these boosters could care less about football because they keep allowing bums to be hired. They were going to let Pruitt come back. You know, and people talk about Danny White getting the deal done with Vitello. You know, I give the credit and I give the blame to the money guys over there. I don't blame coaches. I don't blame, you know, people that hire bad athletic directors, the 8 in a row we've had or the bad coaches, the 5 in a row we've had. I mean, these power boosters sign off on all this stuff, you know, and so you could fire bad leadership, but you're not getting rid of boosters and they don't care. Our commitment to winning isn't there. Not like Texas, not like Oklahoma. And we see what's happening with Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. Just anybody who cares. Hell, look at Texas A&M. They went, what are they paying for their coach? $9-10 million? Then they go 11-1 or 9-1, 10-1 last year or something.
Yeah.
I mean, Ole Miss is reaching up for their coach. Mississippi State reaching up for their coach. They have no business being able to hire a coach of that level. Meanwhile, everybody just laughs at us. We go get Cincinnati's coach.
We could have hired Hugh Freeze or Lane Kiffin last time. We didn't. Yeah. And that doesn't mean that Josh Heupel won't work out either. But if he does, it's a gamble that paid off. And lately the gambles haven't been paying off. So we're due, Jamie. In my book, we're due.
Russ, one more thing out the door. I know we're beginning. You know how every time we have a coach in hiring, it ends up sucking. And we, you know, we always talk about the guys we could have got. You know, all the way back to Johnny Majors in 88, when, you know, we could have got Steve Spurrier. You know, it's like we've already begun, you know, we see, you know, I'm like you, Heupel, he has not proved me anything wrong, he hasn't proved me anything right. So we'll see if he works out. But, you know, if he doesn't, we're gonna step back and look at the Lane Kiffins and the Hugh Freezes of the world that we could have had.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda. Thank you, Jamie. One last quick thing. We'll get Roger in here. Bear, Pete Thamel getting a statement from Oklahoma. Quote, The college athletics landscape is shifting constantly. We don't address every anonymous rumor.
Yeah, Pete Thamel also pulled out something else. If they were to leave before, I guess the contract runs, I think it's 2024, it would be, even for college football, would be an astounding amount of money they would have to pay.
But that's when our new deal goes into effect.
What, 2024?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, huh? Funny how that works out, huh? Roger, you'll be our final caller today. Hello, Rog.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Big Rog, doing well.
Well, good. Listen, I'll leave my time, so I'll hold it real quick. I just want to ask you about Josh Hopper. I know you said we didn't see that yet. That's why I asked you, Russell Bear, both of y'all's question. I was happy with her when he said and everything. Would you happy you think Johnson for him and also the both all three players, the players too? Would you happy with, would you think they're doing a good job?
Roger, I put it this way: they didn't do a bad job. There's nothing that they could have said yesterday that would have made me like, yes, this is awesome. But there's plenty they could have done that would have left a negative imprint, and they didn't do any of that. So, to me, that's a win. That's as good as you could have hoped for. Now we got to go practice. We got to go get coached up. We got to get ready to play ball games. Let's surprise some people. Let's win a game we're not supposed to this year and show that Tennessee's on its way back.
Yeah, you're right. So that's another thing. So have a good night.
Thanks, Roger. Good night. You too, buddy. Appreciate that. Bye. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you, Bear.
Thank you, Russ.
Thank you, Jake Miller. Overtime coming up next. We'll do it again tomorrow, 3 p.m. right here on Fan Run Radio.